Holy Spirit, continue to minister to the people. I'm just hearing God say, I am in the house. I have received your worship and your praise. I have received your joy. Ask, and you shall receive. When you worship me, seek me also. Seek me with all of your heart. Come and dine with me. Let you and I dance together. Let you and I rejoice together. I love it when you worship me as you did this day, giving me your all, holding nothing back. When you worship me with total abandonment, there is nothing that I will withhold from you. Seek and ye shall find. Ye shall find the answers that you need in me. I say rejoice and be glad all of this day. For this is a special day in your life, a day when I'm going to transform all things around about you, a day of complete understanding of where you are with me and what I am doing in you. Thank you, Father. God's done some healing in the house this morning. What do you need healed of? Either physically or spiritually. I'm just hearing God say, this morning I will withhold nothing from you. What is the deepest desire of your heart? I'm also hearing God say, where there was once sorrow, you will have complete joy. You know, God's telling me some of you before you came in here this day, you gave in to the enemy, the wiles of the enemy. And God said, he's strengthening you right now, this second, that you will no longer bow to what the enemy is trying to get you to bow to. So whatever you've been battling up to this day, God said you're free from that. Receive that freedom right now. Thank you. Some of you are struggling with some issues in life, and God wants to bring you into oneness with him, where it will now be his struggle and not yours. And there's some of you in here this morning, you've been sitting on the outskirts of the camp of God. And he's calling you right into the very center of his camp. No longer sitting on the sidelines, but coming right into his very presence. God's saying again, I'm in your midst. What is it that you truly want? What is it that you truly have need of? Some of you carry around a heavy burden. You're sort of in between. You haven't yet given your heart to God, but you aren't sold out to the devil anymore either. And God wants that heavy burden right now. He wants to set you totally and completely free. And those of you who have loved ones that aren't, you know, they're sitting on the outskirts of the camp, and God said, if you'll quietly name them to yourself, God will hear that, and God's going to move upon them, and you're going to see them serving God with all their hearts. It's time for you to bring your loved ones in this morning. And God's telling that some of you, you want to be productive for the Lord, but you don't know how. God's moving upon you right now to give you insight to what he wants you to do. You're going to be hearing this still small voice instructing you what to do. There's somebody in here, you've been on the mission field, and God said he's going to send you back onto the mission field, because the works was not completed the first time around. So get prepared to go back to the missions field. There's also somebody in here that God has anointed to sing, and you're still not singing for the Lord the way you should. But you're going to find yourself just breaking out into worship and praise. And God's going to free you up so you can go ahead and worship him in the house of the Lord, the way he's called you to worship him. And God's saying all the praisers, all the dancers, need to start giving that gift to God when praise and worship is going on. He said he loves to watch Miriam and David dance. So what he's saying is, we have people in here that can dance like Miriam and dance like David, and you're not quite doing that, and God wants you to start doing that. God doesn't want you to hold anything back from him ever again. And you know what God wants to talk about this morning is unity. I was laying in bed praying the other morning, and God said, I need unity in my body. God wants you unified with him. He wants you to be in total, complete unity with him. And then he said, where there is unity, I am in the midst. See, when you get that close to God, then he's there with you. Then he said, if my people would be in unity as my people were when they built the Tower of Babel, nothing would be impossible. Do you hear that? If you truly will worship the Father and become one with him, anything you ask of him, he'll do. Because nothing will be impossible. See, we want God to move, but we don't want to do anything to get him to move. We just want him to start moving. But we're not quite unified with him yet. You are not quite one. You'll know when you're unified with him, because all you want is him. You know, nothing else will matter. All you want is him. And you just want to just do what he wants you to do. You'll forget about what you had planned for your life. Amen. All right, so Brett, I'm going to go down there where it says, what does the Bible say about unity? All right, what does the Bible say about unity? Unity is a common topic in the Bible, promoting the peacefulness of living unified in harmony. And this is what God's called us to do with him. We are called by the Bible to be in unity within ourselves in 1 Peter 3:8, in unity with all followers of Jesus in 1 Corinthians 1:10, and maintain the unity of the Spirit in Ephesians 4:3. Now let's read about the Tower of Babel. I was shocked when God said about that. So in Genesis 11:1, it says, "Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." See, it's all about themselves. You know, if the church would come in unity like these people did, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city. If we would all come together for services in unity, come, let us reach heaven through our praise and our worship. If we would come with that attitude, but we don't. All right, verse 5 says, "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one," see that? "And they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them, because they were all in one mind." And you know, I know it says the same language is all around, but if we just had the same language, praise, worship, adoration, you know, to the Father. In verse 7, God says, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. I just want to emphasize, because God used these people, I just want to emphasize, if we would just all come together for one purpose when we meet together in the house of God, not to fuss about each other, not to talk about each other, not to outdress somebody else, not to anoint somebody else, but just come together for one purpose, and that's to praise the Father. Nothing would be impossible. We would see the angels. We would see the miracles. But it's because of the lack of unity in the body of Christ that we do not see these things. All right, the Tower of Babel was a great human physical achievement and took a great deal of cooperation with each other. This lofty structure was to be tall enough to reach heaven. Archaeologists think the Tower of Babel was 300 feet along the side and 300 feet tall. That's quite a big building, isn't it? 300 feet tall. How could they build something like that? Because they all had one mind, one object, and that was to build a tower to heaven. If we would just come together with one mind and one purpose, and that is to reach and let our praise and worship reach heaven and become one with the Father. I really wish we would think about that during the week and then come together with that same mindset and see what kind of miracles God would perform. Okay, so then I wrote down that today only a fracture of the building remains, scattered and broken. All right, so number one, God noted that the people were unified in one place, in one language. Number two, it wasn't that God had a problem with their being unified, but with their being unified for the purpose they had in mind. All right. And the third point is they were working against God's plan, not for it. and being unified as they were, God's concern was that there wouldn't be anything that they wouldn't or couldn't do. And number four, this is what is meant by nothing will be impossible for them. That's what God said. An example is they won't be stopped in any of their plans, even if they are against the will of God. If we would just become unified, that's what it's going to take to get the glory to drop, is being unified. But everybody's trying to outdo everybody else, or else you're sitting there saying, what are they running for? Why are they shouting so loud? Why are they clapping their hands? If we would just get unified, if we would just be lost in the Spirit, then God, the Holy Spirit, could move upon each one of us and do whatever he wanted to with us, and we would all be glorifying God. Okay, so God told the disciples, Jesus told the disciples to go to the upper room and wait, right? In Luke 24:49, it says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. He told the disciples to go and wait there until the Holy Spirit was placed upon them. Now, when they went up to the upper room to wait, they were there for one purpose, to receive the Holy Spirit. Even though they didn't understand that, they went and they did as God said, one mind, one accord, waiting for God to do something for them. In the upper room, they were in total unity. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. If on Sunday mornings we would come into the house of God, if we were in one place, but are we in one accord? Say. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Even though they were all Galileans, God had them each speak a different language so everybody could understand what was going on. Do you see what God's trying to get us to do here? We need to get in unity so that whenever people walk through the doors, they don't make it through the door. They fall out in the Spirit. We have to sort of drag them to a side. And Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received Peter's word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, the S on the end. In other words, if this church would get in unity, many signs and wonders would be done through all of us. And the people would come and come because they wanted to see what's really going on. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord, in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. See, if we get in unity, if Lighthouse Church would get in unity, we would start having favor with the people. You understand that? Or, you know, whatever, wherever you're from, whatever you're, whatever you have going on, if you would really get in unity with the Father, then you would find favor with everybody around about you, including your own household. Are you praising God and having favor with all the people? And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The Lord added to the church daily. So there's a harvest out there of souls. And so when we become unified with Jesus, and this is what God said he wanted today, then he's going to start sending those souls either to us or we'll go to them, but they will be saved. Acts 4:32 says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. In other words, we come in here, you know, we have one thing in common. We love the Father. We know that we are his children. We know that he's called us and he's anointed us. We know he's with us at all times. You see, we all should be knowing that. And so when we come together as a group, then with all of our anointings and all of our faith, God will move miraculously. See that? In Psalm 133, 1 through 3, it's a song of accents of David. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? Unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. You know, when I put this scripture down here years ago, I was standing on my back porch, and there was a mist. It was only on me and on the porch. And I said, Father, what is this? He says, it's the dew of Hermon. I brought it to you. I was in unity with the Father is what I'm getting at. And when you're unified with the Father, he'll do all kind of miracles to you. Are you understanding this, guys? You don't have to wait for somebody else to get in unity with the Father. You yourself get in unity with the Father. Be one with the Father and watch what he will do for you. God told me one time, I brought the alabaster box to you. I'm washing your feet. You know, why would God say that to me? Because I'm in unity with him. I'm in one mind and one accord with him. And so he does all kind of things to me. If you have to stay unified with the Father, you need to quit your fussing about every little thing that somebody else says or does. You stay connected to the Father and let him bless you. Well, you're fussing about somebody else or worrying about somebody else. That somebody else is stealing your unity with the Father, stealing your time away from the Father. And then God was so adamant. He said, I want them to be unified with me this morning. And this is why you're here. And God already came and talked to us, you know, right after praise and worship. God wants you to be one with him. When you become one with him, all kind of miracles happen. And wherever you go, there's miracles. All right? The Bible underscores the importance of unity and oneness. In Psalm 133:1 says, unity with others is good and pleasant. Unity is absolutely essential because the church is a body of Christ. Find out 1 Corinthians 12:27. And a body cannot be in disunity or disharmony with itself. So if we believe the word, and we are the body of Christ when we come together, then we can't have any disunity or disharmony among us. And we have up to this day. But I'm believing with all my heart after today there won't be any more disunity or disharmony in the body of Christ. All right, well, in this body anyhow. Now, if disunity occurs, it essentially ceases to be a body. It becomes a disjointed group of individuals. And that's, God told us a while back that that's what was going on here. everybody, nobody, they really weren't working in unity trying to get God's vision for the church. Everybody was working to get their own visions for their own projects that they were doing. And God spoke that to us not too long ago. Yes, he wants you to have your own projects, but your first priority should be the church, Jesus. All right? So any of you in here at Leaders, you have to become one with the Father. And then when you become one with the Father, totally pressed into the Father, every place you go, you will carry the blessing. You will carry the glory, and it will be through you that God performs the signs, wonders, and miracles. All right, Jesus' plan for his church is people unified in the faith. The secret of unity begins with how we view ourselves within the body and how we view others. The key verse that addresses this is Philippians 2:3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Disunity in a church is most often caused when we act selfishly and consider ourselves better than others. And Paul goes on to explain further in the following verse, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And sadly, churches that experience disunity and are in conflict and turmoil are generally filled with people looking to their own needs, okay? Their own desires and their own ambitions. Such behavior is character. This is what God told us. That's why I wrote that down. Their own desires and their own ambitions, such behavior is characteristic of unbelievers, not those with the mind of Christ. If you're sitting in a church service and all you're thinking about is God using you so everybody can see how anointed you are, then you are in disunity. Were you understanding that? When I was first born again, I went to a church and I had a lot going on in my own life doing things, but the pastor had retired, the pastor's wife had retired, and I had taken on the job of cleaning the church, which I kept. But she said to me, she said, you don't have to clean the church anymore because you have so much going on. I said, no. I said, I'll continue to clean the church because you need to be studying. You don't need to be out here scrubbing the church or washing windows or curtains. You need to be studying, sitting in the presence of God. And that's how I felt. And I always will feel that way. A pastor should be freed up to be before the Father and do the studying. And the congregation should be taking care of the church. And that does happen here. But too many people don't do that. The pastor has to do the church plus, you know, the study and everything else. All right, worldliness, not godliness, is the hallmark of the disunified church. As Paul reminded the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 3:3, for you are yet carnal, for in that there is among you envyings and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal, and do you not walk according to men? I mean, you can sit in here and you can smell my face all you want, but the minute churches over, you go to your home and you start gossiping. That's disunity. All right? Ephesians 4:2, but Paul tells us that we are to consider others' needs before our own. In all modesty and humility and lowliness of mind, we are to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, in love, in love, in love. I got stuck on that. Yeah, God had to do his love the other day, didn't he? Everything has to be done with love, or you're not unified with Christ. All right, a church filled with such people cannot help but have peace, unity, and harmony. The truly humble person sees his own faults in light of the perfections of Christ. See, you know, we're all guilty of that before today, but after today, we're not going to be guilty of this no more, right? All right, the truly humble person sees his own faults in light of the perfections of Christ. He does not seek to see the faults of others. See, you see that? But when he does, he speaks the truth in love and desires their sanctification so they will be built up in the image of Christ. In other words, leaders, you know, if you do see the faults and the flaws of the sheep that you're leading, then you, it's your job to tell them in love what's going on and what they need to correct it. That's not gossip. But now if you go around spreading that to everybody you see about what's going on in that person's life, then that's disunity and that is gossip. And God can't bless anybody. All right. He sees his own heart and the corruption that lies hidden there, you know, the person, along with impure motives and evil ambitions. But he does not seek to notice the errors, defects, and follies of others. He sees the depravity of his own heart and hopes in the goodness of others and believes their hearts are more pure than his. So many pastors want to be above their flock. That's not the way God ever meant it to be. The pastors hide things that the flock can't see, and then the pastor's out there judging the flock when he himself should be looking inside to make sure he is pure. Right? Most importantly, as Christians, we are to see one another in the light of the cross. The ministry of prayer, coupled with the spirit of unity, opens spiritual gates for angels to enter into the earthly realms. Now, I said to Cousin Nine, I'm going to teach about angels, but we also, you know, we have the prayer, the 10-day prayer thing we're going to be going through. And then God's talking to us about unity. So, you know, with the prayer and the unity, I'm believing that we're going to start seeing the angelic host like we should be seeing it. And just not in our bedroom or in our car, but we should see it see the angels in the house of God all the time. That used to be a given here. There was just angels here. People would see them standing on the rooftops and everything. But I don't hear that very much anymore. Just every now and then somebody say, I saw an angel. We all should be able to see the angels. Is it because we're not in unity with Christ? You were not one with him. And so therefore, we're blocking the channels of blessings that God's trying to give us. We really need to think about this. How long has God been teaching us on unity? I look back, you know, years ago, 2008, 2009, and 2007, God didn't speak one time about unity. But just recently, he's just always been talking about his unity. I just thought that was amazing that all those 3 years, never once did he mention unity. But now unity has become very, very important. And I really believe it's because people are so dislocated. You know, they're not connected to anything. And they can't figure out what's going on in their life. You need to release yourself from the darkness and walk into the light and then spend quality time with the Father, drawing close to him so that you know his heart just like he knows your heart. And you know, God does know your heart. He formed you. He made you. But God wants us to know his heart. If you know God's heart, you'll find yourself crying when you don't know why you're crying. You'll find yourself laughing when you don't know why you're laughing. And you'll feel, you know, all kind of stuff in the atmosphere you don't know why. And one time I said, God, why do I go through these things? He said, you're feeling my heart when you feel all these things. All right? And whenever you feel, you know, when God's telling you you're feeling his heart, then you're in unity with him. Now stay there. But just don't be content at the, you know, where you're at right now. Draw even closer, because God told me, he said, there's many more facets of my heart that you don't know about. So that means I had to keep, you know, pulling into God's heart and to find out the deep secret that's in his heart. And this is a time that God really wants to draw us into his heart. Oneness with him. Every one of you people in here, as I look around, every one of you people God's going to use as a leader. And so he's trying to teach you how to be a good leader. He's trying to teach you how to be one with him first. And trying to teach you how to be a good leader so you can lead the sheep that he's going to place in your hands. Now, God's told me that real soon the glory's going to drop. Real soon. And this is the last thrust that he's doing with his church to get us lined up for the glory. So please take all these lessons we've been having for the last 2 weeks is to line us up so we can, the glory can drop in here and God can start using everybody in signs, wonders, and miracles. Just not one person. Everybody. Every place you go, you know, the glory should be on you and it should touch people's lives. You will change people's lives just by walking by them. You won't know the person. You won't know what's going on. But the glory will be so strong on you that people are just going to be changed. And see, God's been trying to get pride out of people because you'll want to know who you touched. You want to know what kind of miracle happened. Why? That's not the purpose of your walk with God. Your purpose is just be so sold out to Him that you know you can walk in a room and the whole room can be saved. Everybody in there can be changed, and you don't know anything's even going on. All right? And that does happen. And some of you might be walking in that right now, where, you know, God sends you someplace and you go and you don't know why you're there, what you're doing there, you know, but you're there and God's using the glory in you to change people around about you. All right? I mean, people used to come in here and get healed and I never even know if it's even healed. One guy was dying of cancer and then he came that night with his sister. And I walked by him, and he said, when I walked by him, he told his sister something jumped onto him. And he was healed of cancer that night. I didn't know about it 10 years later. 10 years later, I ran into her. She came in here or something. And she said, oh, by the way, I said, how's your brother? And she said, oh, by the way, he was healed that night he came. I didn't know that. You know, why do you have to know that? Just be. But you have to be unified with Christ. You have to know his heart. You have to be in his heart, really. And then just be, and God will work through you. You know, like you guys are going to go overseas. You know, you're just going to have to be and let God use you, work through you. America needs Christ, I think, more than some of the people, the cities overseas do. We need to be evangelized also. So why not be content just evangelizing the United States? You know, unless God's called you overseas. Because God told me that one time. He said, I need evangelists right here in America. He said, they go overseas because they get money. You know, he said, but when they're here, they don't get money. But over there, they get, I've heard that too. But God told me they go there because, I'm not saying that about you. But, you know, so let's just be who we are. Be content with being God's child. Stay in America and evangelize America. That's why we're under judgment, you know, because the church is messed up. Are you ready this morning to become one with Christ? Are you really ready to be so close to Him that people won't know who you are, really? Because you'll be so changed. God wants to do that this morning. He has a special anointing that He wants to place upon whoever wants it. Come to the altar, that you'll be totally, completely unified with Him, and the enemy will never be able to pull you back out of the arms of the Father.